Washington, D.C. is bracing for an impeachment trial and an inauguration unlike anything this country has witnessed. The inauguration will happen 2 weeks after a deadly riot in the U.S. Capitol building. Multiple government investigations are being opened into law enforcement's response to the riot.
Meanwhile, today, President-elect Joe Biden is staying focused on the pandemic. He'll lay out his plan to vaccinate 100 million people in his first 100 days in office. And last night, he unveiled a nearly $2 trillion plan to pay for it and to boost the economy.
My fellow Americans, the decisions we make in the next few weeks and months are going to determine whether we thrive in a way that benefits all Americans, or that we stay stuck in a place where those at the top do great, while economic growth for most everyone else is just a spectator sport.
Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us now. Rick Klein is political director at ABC News. Hey, Rick.
Great to be with you.
And Tolu Olorunpah, White House reporter for The Washington Post. Tolu, great to speak with you.
Great to speak with you as well.
And this is an ambitious plan. It includes money for direct payments to households, money for unemployment benefits, local governments, tax credits for child care, even a $15 minimum wage. Rick, start with you. How would you characterize what Biden is setting out to do here?
This is a major statement early on by the incoming Biden administration. This is not a series of half measures, and this is not limited even to COVID-19. This is a big, bold statement that President-elect Biden believes he has a mandate and wants to cash in on that and wants to do big things. I heard that speech and heard language that was pretty close to what Bernie Sanders would use. And to me, it may be Vice President Biden learning some of the lessons of the Obama years. But of course, he's looking for Republican votes. And that, of course, is a controversial notion inside the Democratic Party, particularly in this divided time. But the idea right now is to go big and go big early from Biden.
Tolu, a month ago, Congress could barely reach a deal that was more than half the cost of this plan. I know the balance of power is shifting in the Senate, so that might change things. But how is Joe Biden going to get this through Congress? Is he going to need Republicans, as Rick says?
Well, he definitely wants to have Republicans, but he has the nice added benefit of not necessarily needing very many Republicans and not needing Mitch McConnell to sign off on this. Mitch McConnell was not on board with spending almost $2 trillion just last month, but he's not going to have the gavel. In a matter of days, it's going to be Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Democrats in charge of the process, and they would be able to push forward this kind of major spending without having to rely on Republicans' veto power. Now, Joe Biden wants to push this through with, you know, enough votes to overcome any kind of a filibuster and get support from enough Republicans so that this has wide bipartisan support. That's probably why it's $1.9 trillion and not $2 or $3 or $4 trillion. But it's unclear if he'll be able to get that Republican support. We did see Mitch McConnell act during the Obama years as the stopgap measure, sort of to block anything that Obama was pushing, even though there was a crisis going on, with the idea that by, you know, blocking Obama, making it hard for him to push forward major legislation, then that was the pathway to get back into the majority. And Mitch McConnell did get back into the majority, and he kept that majority for the better part of 6 years. And he wants to get that majority back. So it would be hard to see, you know, Republicans en masse getting on board with what Biden has proposed. But he may be able to peel off a couple of them, and he is going to try to do that. And if he doesn't, he is going to be under pressure from members of his party and members of the progressive left to push forward as much as he can get with just the 50 Democratic votes plus the vice president-elect's vote to get it through using reconciliation or using any other measure that they can use to push through a partisan rescue package, given the fact that the economy continues to struggle and the virus continues to spread at record levels.
Rick Klein, I want to ask you about the prosecution of some of those who were involved in the insurrection or said to be involved in the insurrection on the Capitol. Last night on CNN, attorney Albert Watkins, who's representing the horned, shirtless rioter who calls himself the Q shaman, said that his client was only doing what the president wanted. Let's hear from him.
He felt like he was answering the call of our president. My client wasn't violent. He didn't cross over any police lines. He didn't assault anyone. He was there at the invitation of our president.
Well, that messaging is pretty clear. Lawyers for the rioters potentially, and I wonder what you think of this, could be helping the Democrats present their case in the Senate. What do you think?
I think it's fascinating to think about how information like that could be used as evidence against the president. If there is a decision to call witnesses or to involve statements like that into the record. Of course, the president has done what he can to say that the people that marched on the Capitol were not his supporters. He addressed them just minutes earlier. And it is an interesting dynamic because it does hurt the president's legal defense, such as it is, that he had no responsibility, for what happened when you have people who say, yeah, that's the reason I did it. He told me to do it. And the words will be very clear. I think the way that the Democrats, and it will be the Democrats, structuring this trial will be so interesting because they could go big with witnesses as they demanded and didn't get a year ago with the first Trump impeachment. And that would mean opening up a whole range of testimony, maybe even Vice President Pence testifying about his experience. And that would slow the process, but it would also potentially make it more compelling, the need to convict the president of the high crimes and misdemeanors that he now stands impeached of.
And how about on Trump's side? How big will his defense be, Tolu, and who's going to be arguing his case?
Well, as of now, he's having trouble finding credible lawyers to back him. Some of the White House counsel, people who were involved in his initial defense during his first impeachment, they want to have nothing to do with this current process. They don't want to defend his actions ahead of the riot. They don't want to defend his actions in terms of how he's tried to cast doubt on the legitimacy of the election. And he's having trouble finding lawyers that are willing to defend him. And also, he's going to be an ex-president, and he's not going to have access to this kind of taxpayer-funded representation that he currently has access to. So we hear names like Rudy Giuliani, people who are involved in the president's personal legal defense. It's a very small list of people that are considered, potential defenders of this president in an impeachment trial. There are some folks who have told the president to not even bother with the defense and just sort of, cast doubt on the legitimacy of this impeachment trial by not showing up, by not having lawyers show up. So it remains to be seen who is going to be the president's defender on this and how much he's going to try to defend himself, especially now that he does not have a social media account that he can use to try to speak publicly about his defense of his actions. But the president has been frustrated by the fact that very few credible lawyers have been willing to take up his case.
Tolu, he sure does seem pretty isolated in these final days of his term. What can you tell us about his state of mind and what we might expect from him between now and January 20th?
Well, the issue of people publicly defending the president is something that he has always been very aware of. He's watched very closely. And as he faces probably one of the biggest challenges of his term, he realizes that very few people are defending him. Very few people are going to the bat for him. And that is frustrating him. He realizes that there aren't very many people on television defending him. The press secretary is not going out and defending his conduct on a daily basis the way he probably would like. And that is leading to some level of frustration. And it is dawning on him that he only has 5 days left as president. He does not have very much power within the Republican Party. He's on very, tough terms with the vice president, who is, trying to, engage in the normal transition of power. Vice President Pence is going to be involved in the inauguration. He's going to attend the inauguration, unlike President Trump. And right now he's, maintaining a lot of the acts that you would expect from a president, while President Trump has largely checked out. So that's really his state of mind as he faces these final days in office.
Well, to your point that he is a weakened president, this week Republican Congressman Jim Jordan said, of course, Trump could still be an effective leader of the GOP after his term is over. But Rick, I know you've got some polling out today that says over half of Americans and 1 in 8 Republicans, which actually isn't that much, say Trump should be criminally charged for his role in the attacks. What are your polls telling you today?
Yeah, we had that finding. We had more than half thinking that he should be barred from holding office. But to the point that Congressman Jordan made, 60% of Republicans think that the Donald Trump direction is the right direction to go. And one number that just blows me away, 18%, 1 in 5 roughly, of Trump supporters think that the actions at the Capitol last week were justified. That is, again, mind-blowing. I mean, to think about what that means, the president has, of course, distanced himself from those acts, and I don't know many who would say publicly that that was a good thing, but the fact that 1 in 5 Trump voters think that it was justified is an astounding statistic and probably a sad statement on where we are in American politics, that so many Americans refuse to believe the truth, the facts that Donald Trump rightfully and legally lost the election.
And meanwhile, there's an NPR poll out today saying GOP women are Trump's staunchest defenders after the riot. Rick Klein is political director at ABC News. Tolu Olorunipa is White House reporter for The Washington Post. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.